ancillary problems that could pop up. Keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? The main thing is loving one another the way we've been loved. We've been talking about that, self-sacrificial love. How were we loved? Listen, maybe you're not a believer. You've been bored. You haven't heard anything else I've said today. Listen up. This is how we've been loved. This is the gospel. This is the gospel by which you are saved if you hear it and understand it and trust in Christ alone. Why did Jesus Christ come? Why was God, the second person of the Godhead, why did he take to himself a true human nature, come to earth as the God-man and live under his own law and fulfill all righteousness? Well, because we had broken God's law. In thought, word, and deed, and therefore we cannot save ourselves. So Jesus, as that Lamb of God, predicting in the Old Testament, all those sacrifices in the Old Testament of lambs being sacrificed, point covered and pointed to the true Lamb of God who would come and really deal with sin, and that is Jesus. Do you want to be reconciled to God? Here's your Savior. He fulfilled all righteousness. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He deserved only blessing. Yet as the mediator of the new covenant, he took our sin upon himself. He took our guilt upon himself. And that's why he died on the cross. Pictured by those altars. He died to pour out his life to save his people. The soul that sins shall die. Death was the threat of the covenant of works. Death was what Adam entered into through disobedience. Spiritual death in the moment and eventually physical death. The soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's why there had to be a Lamb of God come and die. And when he died on that cross, it wasn't just the physical torment. As horrible as that would be, that was nothing to the cup of the wrath of God. The just, holy, pure wrath of God due our sin. He had to drink that cup dry if he would save us. So he had to be perfectly righteous and make a perfect atonement to save us. And he did that. He fulfilled all righteousness. He deserved only blessing. But according to God's plan, he was crucified. He was killed for his people. He was our sacrifice who paid the penalty for our sins, that we might be reconciled to God. You heard me talking about our records being cleansed and being his righteousness being imputed to us earlier. That's how. He took my sin to the cross with him and paid that debt. And if you're trusting in him, he took your sin to the cross with him and paid that debt. And he was qualified to do so because he was the spotless Lamb of God who had fulfilled all righteousness. And he went into that grave. But here's the good news. He rose again the third day. And did you know that over 500 people at one time saw him? Many who were still alive when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians describing that gospel. See, the resurrection it's provable on steroids if you don't use a double standard. It's history. One fact you can take to the bank is ever since he was raised from the grave, people have been trying to explain it away, and nobody's ever succeeded, and you won't either. Why? Because he did. We have eyewitness testimony. He ascended. He's reigning. He's coming again, and we will back every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to him. We saw that back in chapter 17. See, the good news for you, listen, if you're not trusting in Christ, is that there is a Savior. And listen to me, it is not you. God's not going to judge you by Hitler. He's going to judge you by Jesus and by His law. And you're going to fall short and you need a Savior so you can trust in Christ and have all of your sins washed away and be clothed in His righteousness and accepted as a child of God. John 3:16, God loved the world in this way. That's the best translation of that. That he gave his only begotten Son. What? Gave him to do what? To live for us. To die for us. To be raised, reign, and come again. He gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him, trusts in him, two things, shall not perish, but, in contrast, have everlasting life. If you are trusting in Jesus this morning and Jesus alone, not you, not you're doing your best and he'll make up the rest. Your best is sin. Mine too. Look away from self to Jesus. Look like that tax collector who was with the Pharisee who said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified. Like the deacon who was preaching and looking at Spurgeon, the young man looked to Christ. You look to Christ and be saved. If you won't, hear me, through the live stream or in the room, if you won't look to Christ, you will not be saved. You will stand before a holy God and answer for yourself, and you will fall short of the glory that He deserves and created you for, and you will be justly and righteously condemned, and you don't want that. Don't be so proud. May God in His grace cause this gospel to humble you so that you turn and trust in Jesus. And see, that's the love we're to imitate. Christ, though He was God, the Son of God, came and took a true human nature as the mediator, becomes the Messiah, Christ, to save us. He sacrificed His self for His people, giving up His privileges, coming in the form of a servant, in the likeness of simple flesh. You looking at Him, you wouldn't have seen anybody looking any different than anybody else. But He was the Son of God who came to live, to die, and be raised for His people. He sacrificed Himself to save us. More on that next week. But our responsibility is for us to sacrifice ourselves out of love.